Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by Pete Donaldson. Pete,
wow.
How you doing?
What? What the hell just happened there? You got excited. Your mouth's still full of creamed cologne from last show.
Creamed cologne. When I see you on the screen, all thoughts just dissipate from my mind. I just fill with excitement.
I'm like the mind emptier.
But how you doing? How you getting on?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you haven't got a bottle of coffee in your hands just constantly. Once again, it's 24 minutes past 11 in the morning for us in the UK, and it's very late for you, relatively late. And
you're 7:30?
Hammering down the coffee at 7:30 p.m. Outrageous. But I'm glad that when I appear on the screen, it just completely melts your head. I'm like the Men in Black refresh sticks, whatever you call them.
Refresh. What is that called? Like the nebulizer thing?
Yeah, what they call it, like bang, and it just absolutely wipes your brain.
Refresh stick. That sounds a lot better than whatever it was in the film. Neuralizer, innit? Yeah.
Neuralizer, there we go.
Oh, I love Men in Black, but not the second one or the third one. No, I think there's a fourth one. They were all rubbish, but the first one was good. I think the reason I did slip up, I think I can count on one, maybe two hands, how many times I've screwed up the intro to the Abroad in Japan podcast over the last 3 years. This is like time number 7. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I know how to talk. I'm good. The reason is, though, I ate loads of tonkatsu, deep fried pork with rice, about half an hour before the show, and now it's starting to hit, and you'll just hear me collapse in about 10 minutes. It's quite a heavy meal. It's quite heavy. Deep fried pork. Love it. But I'm gearing up for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. Wacky weekend filming with Connor, and not just Connor either. We've got a special guest who I call Natsuki. He's coming along as well for a wacky weekend special.
Oh, dear. Two dirty boys and Chris Broad in a room, in a succession of love hotels. How many love hotels are you going to be hitting this weekend?
Well, this is for the Abroad in Japan channel. As you know, we alternate between Sea Dog channels, Sea Dog VA, and Abroad in Japan. And when it's Connor's ones, it's just a love hotel. So that's a rule of thumb. If it's Wacky Weekend on Sea Dog VA, it's some bloody love hotel. If it's Abroad in Japan, you get quality, quality content. Nothing quality but the content. Best. Last time we went to, the worst hotel in Japan. And this time we're going to go to an abandoned hotel. I'm going to get revenge on Connor, and I'm going to tell him that we're going to like a really nice, beautiful onsen hot spring, and then just rock up a massive, abandoned, haunted hotel. So that's
is that your plan?
My version of revenge, yeah. And Natsuki's going to be there. Maybe we'll have Natsuki burst out of a cupboard and go halfway through.
Yeah. Does Connor know about it yet? Does Connor know about the fact that Natsuki's going to be appearing at some point?
He does, so that can't work, can it?
Oh, well,
and we don't want to stage it. That'll be sad. That'd be very sad. I'll just get someone else to burst out of a cupboard.
Yeah.
Or Natsuki.
You're very, very into cupboard bursting at the moment, aren't you? That's kind of your.
There's got to be a cupboard in there somewhere. Needs to be a cupboard. If it's a wacky weekend, there's got to be a cupboard. Either way, Wacky Weekend is just morphing slowly but surely into Journey Across Japan in all but name. Yeah. It's now Journey Across Japan. Oh,
it's another
God.
Official Journey Across Japan 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Bloody hell. But nah, it'll be fun. We'll see what happens. But I also found an abandoned theme park about an hour north of Sendai. I say theme park, it's like a merry-go-round and a Ferris wheel that are abandoned.
Right, okay.
But it does look a little bit like Pripyat in Chernobyl area. So, you know, we could do something there. Get on the Ferris wheel, break it, roll down the hill like a cartoon.
For the past few weeks, I think I've been on a roller coaster every single week. That's not good, is it? I'm just constantly on roller coasters, mate.
Is that a metaphor for life or an actual, you've been on a real roller coaster?
Life is a roller coaster. No, actual roller coasters. So there's a load of roller coasters down the end of our road because it's near South End. And just been getting on roller coasters for various reasons with kids who have rocked up at our house. It's like, do you want to go on the roller coasters? Yeah, cool. And then I've just been spending a lot of time on roller coasters.
Well, that is fantastic, Pete. Oh, I'm glad you've been having fun at the roller coasters and theme park. Have you been to how many places have you been in Japan, theme park wise?
Zero theme parks. The only theme park I've, like, my mate Gav booked a holiday with his then partner, bought a couple of tickets to, I think, Universal Studios, and then he split up with said girlfriend, and so he just went to Universal Studios by himself and just got pissed and went on all the rides. So he had a good time, though, it seems. I think, depending on what day you catch him on, he either says he had a great time or he had a sad time, but it looked quite fun. It looked quite awesome.
Go to a theme park and get pissed. It sounds like an Abroad in Japan live show in the making, to be honest. But no, next time you come over, I have to take you to some of my favourites. One of my favourite ones is Nasu Highland Park in Tochigi, not far from Nikko. And it's a big theme park. There's like four or five roller coasters. And every time I've been there, there's about seven people there. And that's not an exaggeration. There's like seven or eight people. I went with Natsuki the first time. And they've also got a mascot. That's like Woody the Woodpecker in all but name. They've literally ripped off Woody the Woodpecker, but they've called it Whoopi the Woodpecker. So it's good. And you get to avoid copyright infringement. Whoopi the Woodpecker. Are you looking up Woody the Woodpecker?
Pepper would be the most expensive license you could buy.
Woody the Woodpecker.
I don't think anyone really cares about that character at all. No one's favourite character is Woody the bloody Woodpecker, is it?
I'll go and extort them. I'll be like, give me some free tickets into the theme park, or I'm telling the owners of Woody the Woodpecker about your relentless copyright infringement. But it's great because of seven people, when the roller coaster, you go around it once and then they're like, time to get off. And you can just sort of go, no, can I stay on? And they go, yes, because you're the only people on the ride. And they hit the button again, you go around. Yeah. And I did that four times with Natsuki on one roller coaster, round and around. It was brilliant. So let's do that. We've got a story this week from Luca. Ciao, Chris and Pete. My name's Luca, long-time listener, an Italian video game developer living in the UK. Back in 2018, me and a friend, Simone, went to Japan for a two-week trip during the Christmas-New Year period. For the New Year's Eve, we had conflicting plans on what to do. I wanted to spend the night at a Japanese temple, the Sensoji Temple in Asakusa, as seen in last month's video with Ryotaro. And he wanted to go clubbing, my friend. So we came to a compromise that we'd spend time at the temple until midnight and then go clubbing in Shibuya right after. The first half of the night was pretty amazing, but after a couple of hours in the club, with the excuse of being very tired, which I actually was, I mentioned to him that I was planning to go back. This would have been fine, except I was the only one with the portable rental Wi-Fi, so I was a bit worried about him. He told me, don't worry, and that he knew exactly how to get back. So, oh God, I think we know where this is heading. So I just went with the flow and went back to our hotel. I fell asleep quickly and I never woke up until he finally came back. Huh. I checked the time and it was around 8 a.m. Surprised by the late hour, I asked, how did it go? And why had he stayed out so late? As we had to get up early and go to Akihabara the next day. Still half drunk, he looked at me and started recounting what happened. Apparently, he was so drunk and tired that after getting on the train, I think it was the Shibuya line, he had fallen asleep inside the train carriage. After a while, he was woken up by someone, opened his eyes and realized the Japanese man was shaking him and calling him. It was the train cleaner telling him to get off as he had to clean the train. He got off wondering where the train had stopped, and to his surprise, he was still in Shibuya. The train had done a full circle and the first stop was also the last. He had to get out of the station to enter on the other side and take the next train again to get back to the hotel, but the ticket machine was not accepting his Suica card. He called for help, and after some trouble communicating, he managed to explain what had happened and figured out the ticket machine was not accepting his card because he was going out the same station as the one he'd gotten in. Finally, the guy let him through and he jumped on the next train. Here, again, he fell asleep on the train and was woken up by the same guy shaking him, looking confused as to why he had to wake up the same foreigner on the same train twice in one night. Embarrassed, he got off. And finally, on his third trip, he decided to do the whole trip standing and managed to reach the hotel safe. Though very tired. The moral of the story is don't fall asleep on trains in Japan. It might end up in embarrassing situations. I mean, that's a rule of life in general, isn't it, Luca? Don't sleep on the train that much. But thank you, guys. Can't wait to hear the next episode of the podcast. All the best. Luca from Italy. I mean,
incredible.
That's a weird one because the line in question, if it's the Yamanote line, which does go in a circle, it just keeps going, right? It just keeps going and going. Yeah.
So he got very lucky to find himself in the same place that in which he started. I think,
but there is no cleaner.
Admit, there is no cleaner.
There is like they close the train after everyone's gone, and it's sort of like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, right? So the trains stop working, I think, 1 p.m. in Tokyo, and then they reopen about 4:30. So there's like a 3-hour window where people can clean. So I don't know how this worked. I'm inclined to think it wasn't a cleaner. It was just a guy on the train who might have just been sitting there, just going round in circles.
You reckon?
I don't know. I don't know. It's odd. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You just don't know, do you? You just don't know. I think my mate did that on New Year's Eve on the Northern Line in London. He fell asleep at like, I don't know, 11 o'clock. Fell asleep on the Northern Line, went up to, what's the top of the Northern Line? Morden. And then down to, what's the bottom?
North London.
Stockwell? Whatever the bottom line is. Just up and down, up and down, up and down, like several times. Surprised he didn't lose his wallet. And woke up like at 2 o'clock in the morning when all of the tubes closed and his now wife was absolutely fuming.
I mean, that's a bit more dangerous falling asleep on the Northern Line than on the Yamanote line.
Just a little bit.
That takes
just
balls. Balls or stupidity. Speaking of balls, this week's story revolves around gacha capsules, which are balls, aren't they? Yeah. Ball shape. That's a clever little segue there. That's good by my standards. Usually it's a very cumbersome affair launching into a news story. But Japanese gacha capsule vending machines now sell random destination airplane tickets. This seems right up your street, Mr. Holiday, Mr. I'm going to Lithuania next Tuesday. Imagine going to an airport, using a gachapon machine and just not knowing where you're going. That is the reality that is soon coming to Japan. Peach Airlines, the low-cost airline, which is kind of like the EasyJet or the Ryanair of Japan or the Southwest Airlines, they're doing something where in each capsule, so basically you go to the airport, there's a gachapon machine, little vending machines, you put your money in and open it up and it'll tell you where you're going that day on the airplane for a round-trip airplane ticket. Technically, it's a code to exchange through Peach's point mileage service, but the end result was the same. So you buy a capsule, get a round-trip fare to one of, I think, 10 or 12 destinations. Let's see which ones we've got here. So I think it starts at Haneda Airport in Tokyo, and you can go to Sapporo, Chitose Airport. That's a good one. You can go to Memanbetsu. Where the dickens is that?
That?
Oh, it's in Hokkaido. Never heard of that one. Kushiro, that's also in Hokkaido. So three places in Hokkaido. Kansai International Airport, that's an easy one, Osaka. Fukuoka Airport, Nagasaki, Miyazaki, Oita, these are all in Kyushu, and Kagoshima. And also Naha in Okinawa, New Ishigaki in Okinawa, and Amami-Oshima, also in Okinawa. So three in Okinawa, four in Kyushu, and three in Sapporo. So these are all pretty far-flung destinations, right? And this is the best bit, right? How much do you think this cost, Pete, without looking at the news story?
Well, I mean, like, so like I've been on Peach before, and like most tickets are around about 150 quid, 150 right. pounds in British money.
It's about 20,000 yen, right? Or $200. Well, this incredible thing, is incredible offer, is 5,000 yen, $46 each. That is absurdly cheap. That's very good, actually. Bloody hell. To go there and back, you know, that's usually the price of like one way. What else? What are the other stipulations, though? It's cheap. So that's really cheap, but your departure date isn't at random, thankfully, and you can redeem the tickets anytime between your purchase, between the purchase of the capsule and March 31st. So absurdly generous.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
I mean, presumably you can stipulate when you're traveling and stuff. It's not just you have to leave next Tuesday and come back next Wednesday. Why aren't you doing this, Chris? This is a video waiting to happen, and then you know
somebody's
you get on
beat
the flight.
Me,
exactly, someone's going to beat you. So that's the spirit, Chris. That's the
but
spirit.
But who? Defeatist attitude from abroad in Japan. There, yeah. Apparently, it's the program by Peach is called the Tabikuji Journey Lottery, and. Right. The available tickets depend on which of two machines you can buy them from. For the Haneda tickets, they'll be on they'll be in Tokyo on the sixth floor of the Shibuya Parkour Shopping Center. While the Kansai tickets, oh, so you can also get them from Kansai in Osaka. You can buy them on the fourth floor of the Shinsaibashi Parkour in Osaka. So two big shopping malls, one in Osaka, one in Tokyo, each one with a vending machine, which will send you to one of 12 destinations in Japan's most extreme places, Hokkaido, Okinawa, Kyushu. Where would you go on that list? So we got Hokkaido thrice. You've got Ishigaki, which is Ryotaro's favorite holiday destination. It's kind of like the most southern point of Okinawa. It's a beautiful place, apparently. And lots of Kyushu, which I know you've traveled and explored. But where would you go? Where'd you go?
I'd definitely be looking at, I think Kagoshima is beautiful, Fukuoka as Kagoshima. Well. I think those two are the big ones. I think I've been to most of those, well, not most of them, but some of those airports in Kyushu. But yeah, I'd definitely want to travel west rather than east from Tokyo.
Yeah, I've only been to Okinawa once and it was good, but very hot. Went in August, bad move, don't do that. And I went with lots of influencer people as well, lots of YouTubers. So it was very much a YouTubey holiday. So right. I would vote for Okinawa, but of the three islands, I don't know which one I'd go for. Naha is the main island with the capital of Okinawa. Ishigaki is Ryotaro's favourite island, so you might run into Ryotaro there. So that's a reason to not go there. Amami-Oshima is another one of Ryotaro's favourite islands. He might be there as well. Give that one a miss. No, Amami-Oshima is supposed to be really nice. It's one of the few islands in Japan that's been completely untouched. I think it's got sort of a World Heritage status, so it's quite natural. And there's not many convenience stores. So I would go with Naha. just because I reckon it'd be quite fun to have a look around there for 2 weeks. And also, there's a sort of Western-style hotel resort. And I honestly, I want to go on holiday, but I want nothing more to just sort of sit on a beach for a week and just splash around in the water, read a book, and do absolutely fuck all.
Like,
and that is why, yeah, don't rub it in. Damn you. I'm going to Naha. I'm going to get this 5,000 yen ticket and I'm going to rub it in your face. I'm going to roll around in the sea, splash around like a porpoise, and film it in 4K and send it to you. Damn you. But yeah, that's pretty cool. So if you're in Japan, if you're one of our few listeners in Japan and not Sweden, which is where most of our listeners seem to be, head on down to Shibuya Parkour Building, the sixth floor, and snap up a vending machine. Snap up a Tabikuji lottery ticket, rather. God knows where you'll end up. But we'll be back in a moment with the fax machine, your questions and stories this week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson? And I've dropped my pen.
Oh, we got a message from George, who's a patron supporter who lives in Canberra, Australia, or as I like to call it, shit. Don't be so cruel. Greetings, Chris and Ickyman Pete. Before discovering your channel, I'd never heard of sake. I had the opportunity to try it in a Japanese restaurant, and I thought it was awful. Tastes like pure ethanol. Since that moment of horror, I decided I would never touch sake again unless I get it in Japan. With that, I was wondering, how would you introduce sake to someone who has never had it before, or in my case, had very bad sake, and hopefully get them to like it? Thanks for the content, lads. George, how would you get people excited, Chris, about
sake? I'll give them this. I'd give them a cup of one cup sake straight from the Lawson's.
Grotesque man. Grotesque.
I would give them an offer they couldn't refuse. I would tell them, I will give you the finest sake in Japan, which only costs about 2,000 yen. It's like, you know, it's like wine. You can get really good wine for like 20 quid. I'd say, I will show you the finest sake in all of Japan from the rivers of Gunma, the mountain streams of Japanese Alps. But before that, you've got to down an entire one cup sake in 10 minutes first. And only if and when they could do that, George, then I would reward them with the sake they so badly deserve. I actually, I was doing a video about 2 or 3 weeks ago in, what's it called? It's a town basically on the coastline around here. I was introduced to a guy who runs a sake brewery actually. And he had won loads of awards, and his sake in question was on the first class cabin of ANA, the best Japan airline. No offense to Japan Airlines, actually. Better not say that. I might have a sponsored job with them one day. All the airlines in Japan are great, but his sake was on ANA, which is a good airline.
Right.
And
it's okay,
And I drank it, and I no word of a lie, I put it in my mouth, I sipped it, and my eyes lit up, and I think I went, fuck, oh my God, this is it.
This is good.
Like, you know, when you just try something and it's so good. Like, I do drink a fair bit of sake, but this was special. I don't know how he'd done it. I don't know what he'd done, but it was so perfectly smooth. It was like drinking flavoured water that had a nice little bit of a kick at the back of your throat. It was so smooth and so drinkable and so just bloody brilliant. I think I shook his hand there and then. I sort of grabbed his hand and shook it and went, you've done it. You've won. And also that sake had won.
I've never had anything like this.
The Sake Awards in France, which... a coveted award.
That's where I'd have them.
Exactly. I think it was like a European sake award or something, but he'd won it basically.
Right, okay.
And I knew how and I knew why there and then. So I need to remember the brand basically. So I'll come back next week. Please remind me. And I'll tell you what that is, because it was the best sake I've ever had. But also that we did have some good sake in a video with Ryotaro earlier this year, in a video called What $200 Buys You at a Japanese Hotel, I think. And that sake, we drank it in a forest from the very spring where the water came from. So that was a good brand. Can't remember what it was called, but it was brilliant. So do some research. I'm no expert on sake brands, but I do know it's not too difficult to find a good one. Just avoid one cup sake, George. Know this, Nihonshu, Japanese sake, if you get the right brand, it will change everything. And it's so much more easy to drink than wine. And it's magical, sitting in the Japanese izakaya, sitting on a bar, drinking your sake. And of course, you can get the sake heated as well as atsukan, which I didn't know until I got here. You get it heated up. Have you ever had this, Pete? Like hot sake, warm sake, rather.
Well, I think even like cheap sake sort of almost tastes quite good, simply because when it's warm, because it feels like a bit of a treat. And on a cold day, I think it's up there with the very best Glühwein. And stuff like that. I love warm sake. I think it's brilliant where they have it in that little sort of that little cardboard box they have, that little resin box they use, and it overflows into there. It's
resin
a lovely
box.
Treat on a cold day. Resin box.
It is good. It is good, yeah. You get a little glass, don't you? And they get a little wooden box, and they put the cup in there, and then they tip the sake in out of a bottle. It overflows over the glass and spills out into the sort of the wooden box, which you then drink out of as well. Can't be beat on a cold winter's day. I'm sure we did it on Hokkaido that time. That's sake for you, George. Enjoy it. Find a good brand. Have it. And thanks for your support on Patreon. What a legend. We got one here from Shaw Rooney. He says, all right, boys. I just thought I would email in to say I find it funny that Chris slags Pete for his accent and how he has to have an interpreter there to understand him. Being a very broad Glaswegian, I couldn't imagine Chris trying to talk to me. On that note, how much of an issue do you think a very strong accent would be to understand in Japan? All the best, Shaw Rooney from Glasgow. I think if you're from Glasgow, you're going to have a rough time in Japan. Well, they don't understand British accents, right? Because they learn the American accent in English, which is, it's pretty different. So I had a lot of people struggling to understand me when I first got here until I started speaking slower and enunciated things a bit more. So you're going to have a hard time. Have you ever had any issues, Pete? Your accent's not too strong, but has it ever
and also when I'm on holiday, I sort of adopt a very generic accent. I think I'd very much hate to hear a Glaswegian trying to be like putting on a fancy accent so they could be heard in the same way that when I'm abroad, I'm the most English person ever. Whenever I'm in America, I sort of talk like this because otherwise people can't understand what I'm saying. I mean, I can't, in my own town, I can't order a Coke because people can't understand what I mean. Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
They look at me rather strangely. I say, "Can I have a Coke, please?" And they go, "What?"
So you change your accent when you go to America.
You can't be heard otherwise. You can't be understood otherwise.
Sound like Benedict Cumberbatch when you go to America. Like this.
Yes, I do. Yep, correct.
What accent are you going to put on? What accent are you going to put on when you go to Lithuania next week?
Oh, good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I probably should learn a couple of words, to be quite frank. I mean, I'm only going for literally under 2 days, so that's not ideal. But it's just work just gets in the way. And to be quite frank, getting to Luton for 5 o'clock in the morning is a bit of a pain in the arse.
Imagine doing that, Luton Airport, London, with a 50-pound capsule. Where are you going to end up? That would be quite fun.
Luton.
I'd love that. Yeah. I did that once from Europe for my friend's birthday. I wanted to treat her and... I basically put all the locations on EasyJet of Europe on a screen, closed my eyes, swished my finger around and tapped the screen, and it landed on the contact us button. So I had to do it again. Right. But then my finger landed on, can you guess where it landed? Which city in Europe? There's only 500 to choose from. I'll give you two chances.
Zeebrugge.
Bloody close, actually.
Yeah, go on, give us, Jeez. Where was it?
It began with a Z.
Oh, Zenit St. Petersburg. I don't know. I do not know where.
Zurich in Switzerland.
Zurich. Oh, that's not Zurich. Bad. That's a pretty good shout. Yeah, nice.
Went to Zurich for a day. Ate lots of chocolate. Climbed a mountain, had lunch on a boat. It was glorious. Go to Zurich. We got a story here from Paolo. It says, "Hi there, intermittent fasting Chris and radio podcast hero Donald Peterson. My name is Paolo and I'm Portuguese from Madeira Island, currently living in Antwerp, Belgium. I just want to ask if there are any aspects about life in Japan that you would find we could use to improve life in Europe. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Portuguese cheers from Belgium. Paolo." That's a very multicultural lifestyle you live there, Paolo. I hope things are going well. All yours, Pete. Take the floor. You're a man of culture.
Well, we've discussed this before. What would you bring to Europe from Japan? And it's invariably
one cup sake.
Well, you can get that here quite easily, I find, in Japanese supermarkets and Chinese supermarkets and stuff. It's just rank. It's horrible. Cooking sake, I guess you'd call it. We sort of talked about like infrastructure, trains, and coolish. That's mainly the fried chicken's good as well.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the trains. I don't know. What would I take? A collectivist mindset. I don't know. I find the way people in Japan just don't make that many mistakes. My friend was getting furniture delivered to their house recently and the driver just didn't turn up on the day. Then they turned up and decided they couldn't fit the furniture through the door. Then the next day they turned up again and smashed the furniture. So 3 days of hell. In Japan, when you move, the furniture people do a good job and don't break things. They arrive on time. Like people here are very predictable. They don't make mistakes. They get the job done. And I think we could take a little bit of that spirit and drag it over to Europe, particularly to the UK, where people just don't seem to give a toss. But maybe I'm generalizing because of a bad delivery driver experience. And I don't know. But yeah, that and One Cup Sake. Keep the questions, stories coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do all over again. For now, guys, wish Pete Donaldson a pleasant trip to Lithuania. And we'll be back to hear about his stories and experiences in Lithuania next week. Have a good one. No matter where you might be, have a good one, guys. We'll see you then. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.